And welcome. This is Andy and Nils Johnson. We are the co-authors of the blog Pitcher's Duel. And this is going to be our third podcast segment. And we're going to reflect on the Twins, naturally. And the biggest move that they've made thus far in the offseason has been trading Denard Span to the Washington Nationals for pitching prospect Alex Meyer. And so we're going to sort of touch on both players. We'll start with Span and just sort of reflect on his career with the Twins. Nils, what do you think?
Yeah, it's exciting that the Twins are finally making some moves in the offseason. I know we've been both waiting for something to happen for, you know, a month or so, since World Series ended. It's unfortunate that it was Span, but it was predictable. I think everyone's seen this coming for, you know, the last 16 months. Span was a really good player for the Twins. He was part of the big core with Maurer, Morneau, back with Kubel. Span's the first big part to leave. I'm not really going to include Kubel. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be missed. Everyone loved him in the community. You know, everyone's going to miss him.
Yeah, and, you know, I sort of, when I thought about him leaving, reminded me of Torrey Hunter and how much Hunter meant to the organization and the community. And he sort of reminds me about that a little bit. So he'll be passing the torch on to Ben Revere. And
yeah, Ben Revere, I think he'll be able to handle, at least on the field, he'll be able to handle center field probably better than Span. His arm's not quite that good, but he can, I mean, he has as much range as anyone that the Twins have ever had out there. On offense, he'll be able to be a table setter. He's not exactly an on-base guy, which is ideal, but he's not perfect, but he's going to hit. He's going to run. Even if he only gets on base 33% of the time, it's dangerous having him on the base path.
Yeah, and he, you know, for being a guy that some scouts say is a fourth outfielder, I think he's actually pretty good. I mean, he's got the speed. When you watch him, he's got the speed on the base path, so really his actual skills with the bat don't have to be as great, whereas I think maybe Span might have had, you know, a better swing and all that, and had scouts more excited about that. But I really think he's going to be doing fine. He's going to cover more ground, and with his speed, he could be one of those guys that steals like 50 bags a year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's been really close. I think he's stolen almost 80 bags, like 70 to 80 bags in the last 2 years, and he hasn't been a full-time guy until, you know, beginning last season.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't, and back to what you're saying about his swing, he doesn't have the pop that Span has. He doesn't have the gap-to-gap power. It's not as pretty, but he's defied expectations all the way up. He hasn't hit with power anywhere, and yet all the way through the minors, he's hitting, like, high 300s and just going off. And I wouldn't be surprised if he could be a 300-plus hitter in his career with the Twins.
Yeah, and a lot depends on his, how, you know, when he puts the ball in play. If he can get it by the infielders, you know, BABIP is a big thing regarding batting average. And if he's able to put the ball where they aren't, he'll be a lot of help at the top of the lineup.
Yeah, no, I think that's actually a really good point. He's going to see fluctuations. He's going to have bad weeks. He's a guy who puts the ball on the ground. And, I mean, even though he is as fast as he is, you're still going to have some bad luck and hitting it into the second baseman like five times in a row instead of finding those holes.
Right. But
I think overall it's, you have that speed and you put it ball in play as much as you do, you're going to get on base a fair amount.
Right. And you know what, Span is basically in the same boat there, and he's done just fine so far. And I think I don't think we're going to miss Denard's play as much as some might think. With what Ben Revere brings to the table. So, another
I agree.
And another thing is injuries. Ben Revere has, as far as I know, never had any major injuries where he's missed significant time, whereas Span had the concussion issue and other nagging injuries that cost him quite a bit of playing time.
Yeah, and the concussion, any head injuries, at least gives me pause. It's not exactly what I'd love my center fielder to be struggling with. I mean, if it maybe makes them a little more wary or on the fences, or maybe screws with his vision. You never know. I'm not sure. I don't think concussions are as big a deal in baseball as they are in football, where it's a lot of contact on every play. Mm-hmm. But it's not something I'd ideally like my center fielder to have. And it's nice having a center fielder with a healthy brain.
Head injuries are something that you just never know how they're going to turn out. You could have a player come back just fine, never have an ill effect again. Or you could have a guy like Morneau or Corey Koski, who really, you know, had that concussion and it affected their careers. With Koski, it ended his career. With Morneau, in 2011, he just wasn't the same guy. And, you know...
Exactly. The brain is a fragile thing.
It's pretty important, I'd say. So, now this sort of brings...
Yeah, so...
Oh, you're going to say something?
Oh, sorry, what?
I was going to move on to...
Just going
to
move on to Alex
Meyer.
Yeah,
I was going to say... So, the Twins got pitching prospect Alex Meyer. Background on him, went to the University of Kentucky... he was drafted in the first round, I believe, like 20th something pick overall by the Nationals, and he was in the group with Trevor Bauer, Garrett Cole, Dylan Bundy, a very deep draft. So the fact that this guy fell so far, because I think had he been draft eligible this year, he would have been a top 10 pick easily. So they're getting a lot of talent for him.
That's a really interesting point. I hadn't thought of that.
But he was drafted, I believe, by the Red Sox out of high school, offered $2 million, turned it down, and decided to go play college baseball. Had a rough go his first 2 years and really rebounded and is showing a lot of dominance so far in the low minors.
Yeah, he's that kind of guy. He's got the ace potential everyone gets excited about, and everyone's been missing in the Twins system.
Yeah.
I personally, when I first saw it, I was pretty wary about this trade. I hadn't heard that much about Alex Meyer. You know, I heard about him coming out of the draft, but seeing as he was a 23rd overall pick, I didn't really give him too much credit, probably less credit than I should have considering the draft class he was in. And then in the prospect rankings, he hasn't been elite prospect, so I haven't really paid that much attention to him. But looking at him, it does seem like he has the pitches. He could have 3+ pitches and slot in as a number 2. But then again, those high A guys, I don't know how often they actually end up working out. I don't know. What do you think?
I personally like the move because the Twins have gone in the direction, you know, in the past they've gotten Kevin Slowey, Nick Blackburn, guys who move the ball, you know, they cut it, they sink it, they... don't overpower you, they're not going to strike out a batter per inning. And I'm a big believer that the strikeout is one of the biggest things that a pitcher can do to help his team win, because if the other team's not able to put the bat on the ball, they're not able to score runs. And Alex Meyer has done that. He's got the power arsenal that can go through a lineup and strike out, you know, 9 guys in 9 innings or more. And when he's throwing 99, Any guy who's throwing 99 is going to get attention.
Yeah, you know, I agree. I guess I'd rather take the high risk than the low risk in this case. I don't want a Tom Malone or a Brad Peacock, guys that they traded for Gio Gonzalez last year. I'd rather have Alex Meyer, who has that high upside potential. You know, it's not that hard to find a fourth starter. You can find that on the free agent market, or usually, you know, Scott Diamond, who knows, someone in your own system. But yeah, to get that ace is, or that, not that necessarily that ace, but the guy who has that potential is huge.
Yeah.
And he'll fit well with, you know, Kyle Gibson and Scott Diamond going in the future. That's a decent trio right there.
Yeah, I was just looking at his career, and I could see him making a jump to the major leagues possibly by 2014 at the earliest. I think 2015, if he's not up by then it's going to be like, well, you know, maybe we didn't get the guy that we wanted. Because
I think most prospect guys have said 2014 is the year.
Yeah, he's going to, you know, pitch the start of the 2013 season in high A, then get bumped up to double A, assuming he goes and dominates that level, which I fully expect him to go to Fort Myers and put hitters away. Go to New Britain, and if that ends well, probably start the 2014 season there and get the call up. So, I mean, it's really not going to... It seems like a long way away, but it really won't be until we see him at Target Field.
No, you know, that actually works pretty well with the Twins' timeline, too, as they're going to have Oswaldo Garcia and Aaron Hicks established by that point, and that's going to be right before Sano and Rosario and all those guys that should be following him up real quick.
And also by then, Gibson will... I think it's safe to say Gibson will make the major league roster at some point this year. By 2014, he's going to have innings under his belt, and if he turns out to be the pitcher that the Twins need him to be, he's going to be a guy who can lead a staff, and Alex Meyer would be a great complement to him.
Yeah, and who knows, maybe Liam Hendricks can figure it out, or Scott Diamond can continue what he did in 2012. Mm-hmm. You have the makings of a rotation now all of a sudden.
Yeah, and, you know, at first when I thought about the trade, I was like, could they have gotten more? But then thinking about potential suitors, I think the Nationals were really one of the only teams that matched up well enough, because I don't really think any other pitching prospects from teams needing a center fielder were that exciting. So, I don't know. It'll be...
Sorry, you kind of caught there for a second. But yeah, no, you're right. I think, we're the Braves, but their arms are more AAA level, mm-hmm. and maybe not as high upside as Alex Meyer. Or if they are high upside, they're insanely high risk, like Julio Teheran.
Right.
Not that that was even an option for Stan. And then you have the Rays, but they also had more major league arms, which could help us this year. But how much do you need help this year? Wouldn't you rather have the high risk, high reward? You got to... I mean, like I said earlier, I like the high reward. High reward options.
Yeah, definitely. And another, you know, Span's contract is coming off the books, and yeah, he is playing in sort of his prime years under a pretty good contract for the team. But I think, you know, that money coming off the books can be spent on that middle, you know, the left side of the infield that so desperately needs help right now.
Yeah, the Twins will have a lot of money for winter meetings coming up next week, which will be hopefully really interesting. I read a quote from Terry Ryan where he said he wasn't going to focus on talking to teams as much as agents, meaning they're probably not necessarily done trading, but they're not looking to make trades at this point. They're hoping to sign some free agents to fill in the rest of the rotation. And there are some interesting names out there. I actually wrote about a few non-tenders last night. Jair Jurgens. Not that these guys are going to be front of the rotation mm-hmm. Solutions, but I think we'll see that money spent coming up soon on some starters. Brandon McCarthy, I heard we were talking to him, and he's an interesting name at the front of the rotation for the Twins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is sort of a random topic that we weren't planning on, but when I looked at the non-tender list, and Brian Wilson was non-tendered going into the winter meetings. Do you think he might be a guy we sign to a one-year deal with incentives and put him in the closer role, let Perkins get the high leverage situations, which may be in the 6th, 7th, or 8th innings, rather than have him become the closer, and then maybe ship Wilson off mid-season.
I would love that, actually. Not even for baseball reasons, necessarily. I'm not a huge fan of the closer mentality, or saying that we need a proven closer, especially when we're this bad of a team. Who cares? Glenn Perkins would be totally fine. But to sign a guy like Brian Wilson when your team is going to lose... It's losing fan interest fast. They couldn't even fill out the stadium for the second half of last year at all.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Wilson would add a lot of interest to the team for the upcoming year. Probably won't be that expensive. He'd probably want that one-year contract to rebuild his value and get a big contract in the future. I think it'd be a really interesting signing, and I would love watching him.
Yeah, you know, I think he'd be pretty interesting to be able to watch every day and see if... I'm actually more interested to see if he can come back from a second Tommy John surgery, because the success rate, pardon me, on this second surgery is, I think it's only 60%. After the first one, it's like 93%. So it'll be pretty interesting to see what kind of comeback he has. So, all right, now we'll get back to the...
He's a guy to keep your eye on.
Yeah. We'll get back to the topics that we're talking here. Okay. So, the future of the rotation...
I think... Well, one thing I want to talk about...
Go ahead.
Oh, I just want to talk about the what it meant for the outfield.
I was just going to...
With Revere now vacating right field and taking over center field. Willingham's obviously sticking around in left field, even though he plays a dreadful left field.
Right.
And then Parmley moving into right field. I mean, Revere's great, but he can't cover left, right, and center at the same time. Mm-hmm. Having Parmley in right field and Willingham in left should add a lot of pop to the rotation, or to the lineup, which will be nice.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wonder what they're going to do there, because they have Mastroianni, who's a solid fourth or fifth outfielder. I actually really like him. He's got a lot of good secondary skills. He can get on base, has a little bit of pop. He can run well on the bases. He's a great base dealer, actually. And he can play all three outfield positions. And then you have Domet, who can play outfield. He's a terrible, terrible catcher. So we don't want him actually behind the plate too much. Hopefully, ideally, he doesn't play too much behind the plate. He's sticks to DH and right field. But I was wondering, do you think that they're going to go after another guy, or do they stick with Parmley and platoon him with Domet?
Well, you know, let's... I asked you that question the other day, and when I asked the question, I thought it made sense, but now looking back at it, when we have Hermanson, who can also catch and play outfield, we've got Domet, who plays outfield, DH, and Parmley, and especially with Domet being a switch hitter, I don't think they really need to go out and spend on somebody. I mean, could they go out and buy maybe a right-handed bat that's looking for a part-time job? Yeah, but I think that money could be spent somewhere else. You know, like we said, 2013, the playoffs aren't looking too good. I think the Tigers pretty much have the division wrapped up right now. So I think that money is better spent elsewhere.
Yeah, I can agree with you. I mean, I'd probably rather see not a long-term deal, but at least take a couple flyers on some interesting guys instead of backups in the outfield, which is, you know, it's low risk, but it's low upside, and it's not going to push your team over or have any long-term effects,
right?
Positively or negatively, really.
Yeah.
One guy I saw was Andres Torres, who was non-tendered by the Mets. Mm-hmm. He has a lot of secondary skills, too. He's a lot like Darren Mastroianni. Interesting guy. I don't know, he might be redundant, but I think he'd be a ideal fit with Parmley playing in some of the bigger outfields,
mm-hmm.
Maybe out in Oakland or Seattle, even in Comerica,
mm-hmm.
When they visit there. He'd be a great platoon with Parmley.
Right.
But, you know, yeah, I think you're on the right track with, it's just not that, it should be very, very low on the list of things to do right now.
Yeah, and I'm pretty excited to see Parmley. Parmley sort of reminds me of Brandon Belt with the Giants, where they would say he's going to play and then he just wouldn't play, and they put Aubrey Huff in the lineup. It sort of reminds me of that, because he hasn't really been given like a couple months just to go play, and I think if they give him time, he's going to figure things out. And there's a reason he's a top Twins prospect just a year ago. And that's because he can swing the bat and put it over the fence a little bit.
There's no reason not to give him some room to breathe this year and just say, hey, it's all your job. Yours to lose. Here's a year. Do what you can with it. Show us why we should sign you to long-term contracts. Show us why we should pencil you into the lineup in 2014 and beyond.
Right.
Yeah, I'm all for that. That's something that the Twins and pretty much any team who's not going to win, which is probably like 10 teams, know they're not going to win going into the season.
Mm-hmm.
Although one of them was Baltimore last year, and that worked out all right. But
yeah.
If a team like this doesn't... There's just no reason to be giving veterans who are proven commodities too many at-bats. I mean, you got to give your Morneaus, your Mowers, your Bats at-bats, but just let the kids have a shot and see what they can do. See how they can fit in with the future.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So, is there anything else you would like to touch on before we depart the friendly confines?
No, that's all I got.
Alrighty, well, thank you for listening to episode 3 of the Pitcher's Duel podcast, and I'm sure after the winter meetings, we will be back up with another, and check out our writing, and let us know what you think. Thanks for listening.
Mahalo.